All right, and we are live. Welcome back with Murphy Mac to another episode of the Fitness Beginner Podcast, where we help you get started on your fitness journey. What is up, everybody? Hope y'all having a great week so far. Hope you have a good day at work. If you're listening to me in your car on the way to work, shout out to you. So in today's episode, we're going to continue the free ebook, The Ultimate Beginner's Guide to Fitness. And today's topic is, and honestly, it's not a very sexy topic today, but it's one that I think's important that you should do, and that is monitoring your progress. And you're going to do this by tracking your physical improvements and also adjusting your goals and your workouts based off of the progress that you've made. So yeah, it's not the coolest thing or the most interesting thing, but I think it's important for everybody, no matter what stage of your fitness that you're in, beginner, advanced, whatever, you need to be tracking your progress. And honestly, the more advanced that you get, the more I think you need to track your progress, because your progress is going to be less noticeable. It's going to be harder to see that as you keep going, because your progress is going to be a lot smaller. It's going to be a lot more minimal. So when you're beginning, starting out, you'll be able to see some major changes, some drastic changes. So I would say the more you get into it, the more you should track it. But with that being said, if you're just starting out, you also need to be tracking your progress. So with that being said, let's hop into it. Tracking physical improvements such as strength gains, weight loss, and endurance is essential for assessing progress and adjusting your fitness routine accordingly. So we're going to go over some ways that we can track your progress, like how to do it and different techniques. So number one, first and foremost, just keep a workout journal. So this is like old school way to log your workouts. You want to record them somehow. Most people just use like pen and paper, a little notebook, and you put all your workouts in it. You want to include the exercises you do, how many sets you did, and that includes your warm-up sets in there as well, how many reps you did, and the weights that you used. And then if you really want to get specific, you can include your rest times in there too. But those aren't, depending on what your goals are, you may not have to do the rest times as well. And then also another little metric you should include how challenging each exercise felt. So if you did one and it was pretty easy, you want to note down there, hey, that was pretty easy. So next time you go to do that workout, you know that it was a little easy for you. So you know that you can increase it. You can add some weight or add a rep or something like that. Or if it was very hard, very difficult, put that down there too. So the next time you do it, it was easy. But then you wrote down on there that it was hard the last time you did it. Well, then you got stronger. It got easier for you. So that means you're making progress. So write it down, your energy, exertion, how hard it felt to you. Number two, measure strength progress. So how strong you are. Track the increases in the weights that you're lifting over time. So if you did 200 pounds on the bench press for 10 reps, well, you want to know when you go up to 205. So if you go up to 205, you wanna make sure you're tracking that. Write it down. Track the strength that you're using. So like every time you go up for weight, you know that you're getting stronger. So you wanna track this. Periodically assess your one rep max for key strength exercise. So one rep max is pretty self-explanatory. It's how much weight you can do for one rep. So that's your max amount of weight that you can lift for that given exercise. So do this periodically so you know how strong you are, to know if you're getting stronger. So I definitely wouldn't do this every week. I probably wouldn't even do this every month. You should probably do it like once every few months, and once every quarter, you could do a one rep max for all your lifts. You can do them quicker than that, but just be cautious. You can injure yourself when you're doing that much weight at once. You can hurt yourself. So it's not something I recommend doing a lot. Only do it on a set given time period. Say once every other month. That's probably a good metric to do. So just be careful when you're doing them, because you will hurt yourself if you do them wrong. Make sure you're practicing proper technique when you do these lifts. Get you a spotter. Make sure somebody's there with you. Don't do a one rep max with nobody spotting you on any lift. It don't matter what lift it is. Get somebody there to help you. Also, get them there to record you. Let them record you, one, so you can flex on your haters on Instagram, but then two, so you can watch it back and you can look at your form. You can critique your form, your technique, and you can see where you need to get better. You can see how you look from somebody else's perspective, because you may think you're doing one thing, you may feel like you're doing one thing, but then you see the video and it's completely different. So it's a good tool for you to use to help you learn, help you improve your technique. That's something that I like to do a lot. Number three, use fitness apps and technology. So this kind of goes back to number one with keeping a workout journal. Well, luckily in 2024, we have tons of fitness apps out there. There's too many to choose from. There's a ton of them. Just pick one that you like and go with it. But yeah, they have apps that will literally track everything. All those things that I mentioned earlier, your exercises, your reps, your sets, weights, rest time, rate of perceived exertion, all that kind of stuff. It will track it. And the good thing about the apps is they will also provide you insights. They'll take your data and they'll put it on graphs for you so you can see the progress that you're making over time. You can see that graph go up if you're getting stronger, or go down if you got weaker or something. So it'll give you a better picture of the progress that you're actually making, and you can do it over different time periods. So you can play around with the data. So that's why I would suggest using a fitness app over keeping a journal, because it has all the extra benefits of showing you your data in different ways, making it easier for you to read. But if you're old school and you like to do it on pen and paper, hey, do whatever works for you. Number four, take regular body measurements. So weigh yourself regularly, but also consider body composition changes. So you want to measure your muscles, the body circumference. So measure key areas like your waist, your hips, your chest, your arms, your thighs, your calves, biceps, your forearms, whatever, mainly the ones that you want to work on, that you want to improve, measure those for sure. But I would measure all of them, all your main ones. So waist, hips, chest, arms, thighs. Make sure you're measuring those periodically. This way you can see the changes. If you want to put on muscle, if they're getting bigger, hey, you know you're making progress. Or if you're trying to lose weight and they're getting smaller, then hey, you're making progress. So that's what you want to do. Number five, capture before and after photos. And this is the biggest one. This is the one that I preach the most. I think it's the most beneficial. And out of all these tracking ways, if you're going to pick one, this is the one you should pick, in my opinion, before and after photos. Because these are going to tell you so much more, because you're going to be able to see your body change. You want to make sure you're taking photos from various angles so you can visually track the changes in your physique. The reason I like these is because you can compare them periodically and see the changes that you've made from day to day or month to month. And it gives you a better idea of your body composition than weighing your body on the scale. Because the scale, it can lie. You may be holding on to some extra water weight, so you may be heavier on the scale. Or you may have lost some fat, but you put on some muscle, so therefore you seem heavier on the scale. But you can't tell that by looking at the scale. So the progress pictures are awesome, because if you've lost fat but built muscle, you're going to be able to tell that in the photos. Like, your waist is going to look smaller, but your arms may look bigger. So it's like you can see it better. It gives you more of that visual. And if you're looking at yourself in the mirror every single day, you're not going to notice these changes because you see yourself every day. But if you took a picture a month ago and compared it to a picture of today, you'll be able to see more of that change rather than just looking at yourself in the mirror every day. It's just like if you ever lost some weight or something, or made a drastic change, and then you saw somebody from like years ago that you haven't seen, and they say, oh, you've lost so much weight, or you look so much different. It may have been very little bit, and you may have not even noticed it, but they did because they haven't seen you. So it's kind of the same concept. You can't compare something that you see every day because you get used to it. But when you have that older picture, then it makes it a lot easier to actually see the changes that you're making. So I would preach, take your progress pictures. This is number one for me personally. Number six, monitor endurance improvements. So do cardiovascular fitness tests. Conduct periodic tests such as a timed run or cycling distance. You want to track your improvements in your ability to sustain or increase intensity during interval workouts. So this is pretty much a given. An easy one would be track your time in a mile. If you're going to run a mile, track your time, see how fast you can run it. A month from now, do it again, see how fast you did it. Whatever the time difference is, that's how much progress you made. Pretty simple. Number six, track repetitions and sets. So this one, if you're keeping the weight the same, but you're adding sets or you're adding reps, you're getting stronger, and that's the goal. So you want to note the number of sets and repetitions for each exercise. So if you're using one of the fitness apps, this one's pretty easy to do because you can just do it all right there in the app. It makes it super simple. And you want to increase the intensity gradually by adding more reps, adding more sets, or even adding more weight. So use the apps to track your workout so if you're making progress or not. Or if you stay the same for a while, you say, maybe I should add a little more weight here so I can push myself a little bit so I can get stronger. Number eight, record resting heart rate. So measure your resting heart rate, which can be an indicator of cardiovascular fitness. A decrease in resting heart rate may signify improved cardiovascular health. So the lower your heart rate is, normally the more healthy you are. That's not probably not always the case, but for the most part, the lower the heart rate, or resting heart rate, the better in shape you are. So think of a runner. If you know anybody that is a runner that runs a lot, they run so much that they work their heart so much that their heart gets used to beating at a very low pace. So if you ever measured a runner's resting heart rate, it's going to be very low, way lower than a normal person's. That's just because they work their heart out so much that it don't need to beat really fast. It can function by beating slower. I don't know all the science behind that, but I know that's how it works. Runners have low heart rates. Mine's typically lower than average just because I work out a lot and I'm constantly working my heart and I'm pushing my body and stuff. So mine's typically a little lower, but so measure this heart rate and this will give you a good idea if you're getting improvements in your cardio. Number nine, utilize performance benchmarks. So functional tests include benchmarks like the plank, how long you can hold a plank for, push-up count, how many push-ups you can do, or squatting ability. So if you can only squat down to 90 degrees, your thighs and your shins make 9 degrees, maybe you can work on getting deeper than that, get lower. If you go past 9 degrees, then hey, you know you made progress. Do you want to do regular assessments? Reassess these benchmarks periodically to track your improvements. So if you did 20 push-ups to start, and now you can do 22 push-ups, then you made 2 push-up progress. That's good. So you want to track this periodically, once a month, once every other month. Whatever your goal is, so if your goal is to get your chest bigger, to get stronger, then maybe the push-ups one you should really track. Maybe you don't really care how long you can hold a plank for or something. Don't do all of them. Just do the ones that are relevant to you. Number 10, keep a nutrition log. So this is kind of like the workout log. It's literally the same thing, but for your nutrition. So track your daily food intake, include portion sizes and the nutritional content, and then review patterns. Analyze your nutrition log to identify patterns and make informed adjustments. So you want to track your macros, protein, carbs, fats, and then your overall calories. If you don't want to get too specific with it, you could just do overall calories. But if you want to be more in depth with it, you can do your macros. And a lot of the nutrition tracking apps now, if you can scan the barcodes now and it'll plug all the information in for you. So it makes it super simple. You just have to pick the serving size and that's it. And it'll even tell you your macros. So if you're getting food that has a barcode, scan it and it'll tell you how much protein, carbs, and fats is in it. How many calories is in it, and it makes it super simple. It does get a little tricky when you're using food that don't have a barcode or food that you cooked yourself or something. It's a little trickier then, but most of the apps have meals on there that you can use that's very, very close. So keep a nutrition log and then make adjustments using this nutrition log. So if you're tracking your calories, you're at 2,000 calories for a few weeks and your body weight hasn't changed, well, then that means you're at your base level. You're not in a calorie deficit and you're not in a calorie surplus. If you're at a certain calorie goal and you're gaining weight, that means you're in a calorie surplus. Or vice versa, if you're eating 2,000 calories and you're losing weight, that means you're in a calorie deficit. So you got to adjust this depending on what your goals are. If you want to lose weight, bump them down a little bit. If you want to gain weight, bump them up a little bit. Number 11, set and monitor specific goals. So it goes back to the episode we did about SMART goals. You want to establish specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound goals. And then do regular evaluations on these goals. So periodically evaluate your progress toward each of those goals. So monitor those specific goals, depending on what it is for you. If you want to run a mile in 5 minutes, well, that should be your goal. Set a specific goal for that, and that's what you should be working on, and track it over time so you're getting closer to it. Number 12, celebrate milestones. So acknowledge those achievements, even the small ones. Celebrate reaching milestones in your fitness journey. Recognize your efforts, and this will help you stay motivated. So go back to the mile example. If you want to run a mile in 5 minutes, well, a milestone would be when you run your first mile in 7 minutes. That's a good milestone. And the next milestone may be 6.5 minutes or then 6 minutes. So celebrate those because that means you're getting closer to your goal. You're getting one step closer. So celebrate that. And this will keep you motivated. That means if you celebrate it inside, I'm getting better. I'm improvement. I'm getting closer to my goal. So that's a good thing. You want to celebrate that. Don't go crazy with your celebration, but celebrate it and then get right back to work. Number 13, fitness assessments. So periodic assessments can be good. You want to schedule fitness assessments to measure various components like flexibility, strength, and endurance. And then you can also get a professional assessment. Consider working with a fitness professional or a comprehensive evaluation through your medical provider, your doctor, physician, whoever. Number 14, listen to your body. So your energy levels, pay attention to how you feel during, after your workouts, and your recovery. So adequate recovery is crucial for sustained progress. If you're sore all the time, one, you're probably not going to stick to it very long because being sore is not fun. But two, you may need to adjust your workouts a little bit. You may be going too hard for your body. Maybe your body's not used to it yet. You still need to adapt. Don't go in the gym and go right to 100%. You got to work your way up to 100%. You can't just get in there and go hard from day one. You should be pushing yourself, but you need to work your way into it. You need to make progress to it. You got to build your way up. You can't just go in and go all out, balls to the walls, because you're going to injure yourself. You're going to stay sore. It's not going to be fun. The next day, you're going to wake up not being able to move your arms. So listen to your body. If you're sore, super sore, either take a day off or don't train that body part. If your legs are super sore, if you want to go to the gym, work your upper body. Don't do legs again, obviously. Listen to your body. Also, your energy levels, they should be increasing. If you're working out, eating healthier, your energy levels should be increasing. Number 15, consult with professionals. So a personal trainer, seek guidance from a certified personal trainer for personalized assessments and advice. If you need this, or if you want some help, or if you just like having somebody there to push you, a personal trainer is a good way to go. You can also look at hiring online personal trainers, so they'll do everything for you. They just won't be there while you work out. They'll give you your workouts to do. They'll give you your diet to do, all that. Or you can get a nutritionist. So a nutritionist can provide insights on dietary changes based on your fitness goals. So nutritionist is going to be better if you need more help dialing in your diet rather than your exercise. So some like online fitness coaches, they will actually do nutrition for you. But if you get a personal trainer, someone that actually works in the gym with you, so they're there when you work out, they're not going to give you any nutritional advice just because they're not a certified dietitian or nutritionist. So legally, they can't give you nutrition advice, or they're not supposed to. So nutritionists are just more specialized when it comes to helping you with your nutrition. So that may be a way to go if you struggle with your diet, or if your workouts are on point, but you eat like crap, which is, me, for example, that's me. Maybe a nutritionist is the way to go rather than hiring a personal trainer. Number 16, stay consistent with tracking. Regular updates. Consistently update your tracking methods to maintain an accurate representation of your progress. And then adjust as needed. Modify your tracking approach based on changes in your fitness routine or goals. So if your goal is to run 5 minutes in a mile, and then something changes and you no longer want to do that, it's okay to change your goal, but make sure you're still tracking at whatever this new goal is. So give yourself regular updates on your tracking methods. Make sure you're actually tracking them. That's why you can keep an accurate representation of your progress, how you're getting better, how you're improving. Number 17, use feedback loops. So review your data. Regularly review your tracking data to identify patterns for areas of improvement. This is where the fitness apps come into play, because you can go back and look at that data. You have a record of the data. I mean, you can also go back and look at a workout log if you're doing it on paper, but it's easier on the apps because it'll show you different graphs of the improvements that you're making. So you want to go back and look at that data. Don't just accumulate all this data and never use it. Don't go back and look at it. You can use that to adjust your strategies. So make informed adjustments to your workout or nutrition strategies based on the data. So by employing a combination of these tracking methods, you can gain valuable insights into your physical improvements over time. Consistency, patience, and a systematic approach will contribute to a more accurate assessment of your progress and help you stay motivated on your fitness journey. So those are some ways or some things that you should track in your fitness journey. And now we're going to hit on adjusting goals and your workout routine based on your progress. So adjusting goals and workout routines based on progress is a crucial aspect of maintaining an effective and sustainable fitness journey. Number one, regularly assess your goals. Schedule check-ins. Establish a regular schedule every 4 to 6 weeks to reassess your fitness goals. Make sure those goals are still relevant to you. Make sure that's still what you want to do, you want to achieve. And then reflect on those achievements. Acknowledge and celebrate the milestones you've achieved. Number two, evaluate performance metrics. So strength gains, review your strength training logs and assess if you met or exceeded your target weights. If your goal was 225, go back and look. Have you hit the 225 mark yet or not? What improvements do you need to make to get there? Endurance, evaluate improvements in cardiovascular fitness. So such as increase your running distance or improve completion time. So can you run further now? Or can you run it in a short amount of time? Are you doing that 5-minute mile yet? Are you running 2 miles yet? It just depends what your goal is. Do you want to go far? Do you want to go fast? Do you want to go both? So track that. And then weight loss, monitor changes in body weight and body measurements. Make sure you're doing either body measurements, before and after photos, tracking your weight on the scale, however you're tracking it. I suggest doing multiple ways, but pick one and go with it. Number three, assess your overall well-being. Energy levels. Consider how your energy levels have changed throughout the day. Like I said earlier, they should be increasing. Sleep quality. Assess the quality and duration of your sleep. Also, your sleep quality should be increasing as well. As you start lifting more, eating healthier, your sleep quality should go up. And get in more sleep if you can. Make sure you're getting longer sleep if you're not getting enough. And then your mood and stress levels. Evaluate your overall mood and stress levels. This is a big one. If you go to the gym, you can let out all your heated, stored up energy that you got in your body. When you're mad at the world, you can just get it out at the gym. You can go hard, push yourself, take it out on the weights. It should increase your overall mood and stress levels. You should be able to take on that stress a little better. Review nutrition and diet. So your nutritional goals, assess if your dietary habits align with your goals. And then weight management. Adjust caloric intake based on weight loss or muscle building objectives. Obviously, if you want to build muscle, you need to adjust your nutrition to do that. You want to incorporate more protein, more calorie dense nutritional foods into your diet. If you want to lose weight, make sure you're eating healthier, low calorie foods that are very nutritious, very satiating, that keep you full for longer. So review that and just make sure what you're eating is in line with your goals. Number five, again, listen to your body. So physical response, pay attention to how your body responds to different exercises and consider the adequacy of your recovery strategies. So if a particular exercise hurts you, it don't feel good, don't feel comfortable, or it hurts, you may have a pre-existing injury or something, then don't do those. Don't do that exercise. Do a different one. There's other ways you can work that same muscle. So, for example, I have a bad lower back. Like a lot of exercises I do put a lot of strain on my lower back. I can't do them. I just stop doing them. Like squats, they will hurt my back a little bit. Deadlifts, they'll hurt my back. I don't do deadlifts at all. I will do squats every now and then. I don't do deadlifts. If I do bent over row, I can't do a regular bent over row. I have to use a chest supported T-bar row because the chest, it holds my chest up. So it takes a lot of that pressure off my lower back from holding all that weight up. So there's ways around it. Don't do stuff that is going to leave you hurting for the next few days. It's not worth it. Number six, identify plateaus or stagnation. So recognize if you've reached a plateau in strength or endurance. This is big. Use your apps to do this. So if you've been at the same weight for months now and you're not improving, well, you got to do something different. You got to change something. Or if you're running the same time in your mile every week for weeks, you're not improving. That knows, unless you know you hit a plateau, you need to change something. And then lack of motivation. A decline in motivation may indicate the need for a change. If you're tired of going to the gym, you don't want to go, you're bored of doing the same workouts, this is going to let you know you need to change something up, do something different. Set a different goal, challenge yourself to do a different style of workout, do something different. For example, I got tired of my workouts last year because I did the same thing over and over again. So I just signed up to do an Ironman, which is completely different. Like Ironman, straight endurance. I wasn't doing any endurance at the time. I was no cardio. I was strictly working out, trying to put on as much weight as possible. I was trying to put on mass. I got up pretty heavy, the heaviest I ever been in my life, right before I started training for the Ironman. And then I completely changed up my routine and it gave me something to look forward to. It motivated me. It got me hungry again, gave me something new to work towards, something completely different that I had never done. And it was fun. I enjoyed it. It was a long process, a long journey, but now I'm back to working out like I was before. So you just got to keep changing it up, keep swapping it up. And this way you don't get bored. You don't get tired of doing the same thing over and over again. All right. Number seven, be flexible with your goals. So adapt your goals. Be open to adjusting your goals based on changing circumstances or priorities. Ensure your goals remain realistic and achievable. You never know what's going to come up in life. You never know what's going to change. You may get a new job. Your schedule may change. You may have a kid. So that's going to change your schedule all up. Or you may, just have a weird feeling that you want to do something different. Like I did. I was working out every day and I just decided I wanted to start running, swimming, and biking. Your thing, it may change. So be flexible. Don't beat yourself up because you didn't achieve one goal, but make sure you're setting a goal for whatever it is that you're trying to do next. Be flexible. Number eight, modify your workout intensity and volume. You want to make sure you're providing progressive overload. Gradually increase the intensity of your workouts to continue challenging your body and adjust your volume. Consider tweaking the volume, sets, and reps to avoid overtraining or undertraining. So if you're not getting stronger, you need to add some weight, add some reps. Or if you're going super, super hard in the gym and you're not seeing any progress, you're probably overtraining. So you need to tone it back a little bit. You need to modify these workouts based off your progress. Number nine, introduce variety into your routine. Cross training, include different forms of exercise that target various muscle groups and energy systems. So this is kind of like I mentioned with doing the Ironman. If you get tired of, not necessarily if you get tired, but if you're doing one thing, maybe one day a week, do some CrossFit, or one day a week, do some yoga, do something different. Introduce a variety into your workout. That way your body doesn't get used to doing the same thing over and over again. Because if your body gets used to it, it won't adapt. You're not giving your body no reason to adapt. So your body will hit a plateau eventually. Try new activities to keep your routine engaging and prevent boredom. Do a workout or exercise you've never done before. Look on the internet, find some cool workout you've never done. Try it. See if you like it. You may add it to your normal routine. Number 10, seek professional guidance. So a fitness professional or a nutritionist, kind of already hit on this, consult with a personal trainer or fitness coach to assess your progress and modify your routine. A nutritionist can provide guidance on adjusting your diet based on your changing fitness goals. So not really anything to say there. Same thing as earlier. Number 11, assessments. Continue these periodic fitness assessments to evaluate your overall fitness level and your body composition. Assess changes in body composition using methods like body fat percentage measurements. Again, before and after photos, body measurements, scale. Number 12, set new short-term goals. So you want to make sure you're having continuous improvement. Establish new short-term goals to maintain motivation. And then make sure you're developing your skills. So focus on improving specific skills or mastering new exercises. So if you tried something new, if you put something new in your workout, try mastering it. Try getting the best technique possible. So that way you can get as strong as possible on that lift. Is to give you new short-term goals to work towards to keep you grinding and keep you motivated, give you something to work towards. 13, address weaknesses. Identify weak points. Recognize any weaknesses or imbalances in your current routine and target those weak areas. Adjust your workouts to target specific areas that you may need improvement. So if your biceps are lacking, include some more biceps into your workouts. Or if you're not good at a certain lift, but you need to be doing it because it's very beneficial, practice that one. Get better at it. Address those weaknesses. So weaknesses with your body. So if you're lacking in a certain muscle group, do more of that. And then also, if you're not good at a certain lift, practice that as well. Number 15, stay adaptable. Life changes. Be adaptable to changes in your lifestyle, your work commitments, or your personal circumstances. Flexible planning. Modify your routine to accommodate unforeseen events. So this is a big one. Everybody's schedule changes multiple times throughout the day. I suggest in the morning, go work out in the morning, and nothing else throughout the day can change the fact that you already went and worked out, because you went and you got it knocked out, and that's the best thing you can do. But say you go in the morning, for example, and that day you couldn't go that morning. Well, be adaptable. Go that afternoon after work instead of going before work. It's pretty simple. 16, celebrate adjustments. Positive reinforcement. Celebrate the act of adapting and adjusting your goals as a positive step. So if you had to readjust your goals a little bit, celebrate that as a positive step. That, hey, you're getting better, you're doing something that resonates with you more, or you have a new goal. Make sure this is a positive change so that you're not so hard on yourself. You don't want to bring yourself back. You want to spring yourself forward. And then continuous learning. Recognize that adjusting goals is a part of continuous learning and improvement. Because it may have been off. Your goal may have been not what you expected, or it may have been the wrong goal for yourself. And as you got better, as you learned, you may have to adapt that goal. You may have to adjust it a little bit, change it to fit what you actually need. You may have misunderstood something. So you had one goal, but then you learned more about it and you were able to adapt that goal to better suit your needs. And then number 17, just stay consistent with your adjustments. So regular updates, consistently update your workout plan and goals based on your assessments, and take a dynamic approach. Embrace a dynamic approach to goal setting and routine modification. So just check in every now and then. Make sure you're making adjustments, track your progress, actually review your progress over time. Go back and look at it. By regularly assessing your progress, being attentive to your body, and adapting your goals and workout routine accordingly, you ensure that your fitness journey remains dynamic and aligned with your evolving needs and aspirations. Consistency, self-awareness, and willingness to adapt are key factors in achieving long-term success. So there you have it. That's how you can track your progress, things you should track, why you should be tracking your progress. It's important. It's not the most fun thing. It's not the coolest part about working out, but it's important. And I think it can be very beneficial for everybody, beginner, intermediate, advanced, professional, and you need to track your progress. So this way you can see it. And once you've been working out for years and you have all this long sets of data, it's going to be cool to see that. From now, like if you started working out today, 10 years from now, it's going to be cool to be able to go back and see all the progress that you've made, all the different workouts that you've done, how much weight you've lifted, all kinds of things like that. It's cool to see how far you've come. And then you'll also have those pictures. If you're taking before and after pictures, you'll have pictures from 10 years ago, what you look like compared to what you look like now. So it's pretty neat. I suggest check your progress. And the more you get into it, the more you get committed to the craft, you'll want to track your progress. You'll want to see these improvements that you're making so that you're getting better. You're getting stronger. Your body's starting to look better and things to that effect. So if you haven't yet, check out the last episode where we went over staying consistent. Last episode was building consistency. Check that one out and tune in next week where we're going to talk about rest and recovery. That's the topic for next week. If you haven't yet, subscribe to the podcast, the Fitness Beginner Podcast, on all of your podcasts and platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to them at. Also, check us out on YouTube, the Fitness Beginner Podcast. Subscribe over there. I would appreciate it. We're dropping the video version of the podcast on there, and we're also posting some shorts up over there, some clips of the podcast. So I think y'all will enjoy that. Check it out. I'd appreciate it. If you have any topics for the podcast, hit me up. Send me a DM. I'd love to chit-chat with you about it. Maybe we can cover it on the podcast. But until next week, y'all have a great rest of y'all's week, and we'll see y'all then. Peace, love, protein. We out.